How many of you have your Bibles today or have a Bible available? All right, so I want you to turn to Isaiah 45. And Isaiah 45, and we're going to focus on a different scripture today, but this Isaiah 45 is what we're going to start with. Now, Isaiah 45, you see, you can either flip to it or hit it. Isaiah 45 is a scripture that I believe has been an important scripture for our country and for the season that we're in. And it's all about King Cyrus. And it's about how it begins with Cyrus, who was a non-believer, as far as we know. As far as we know, was a heathen king. And yet God called him anointed. God called him anointed. Now, the word anointed in the Bible means primarily that God has set someone apart for a particular task. And it's a separation unto, an, if you want to call it, a separation unto a purpose. So when God sets someone apart for a particular purpose, he does things for them. And he does things to bless people. And I thank God that there are many things that we enjoy today that came as blessings from the Lord through the hands of imperfect people. Amen? Are you glad for that? He didn't have to say, well, I've got to have this vessel perfect to get it so that he can get us something that he wants to bless us with. On the other hand, when God raises up leaders, now listen to me, when he raises up leaders for his church, he has a different standard. So when God heard the cries of the people of Israel in Egypt, they were under great duress and great problems. It took 80 years to get Moses ready to do the job. And God wasn't playing. He said, I'm going to send someone to do the job, but I'm not playing. This man needs some serious work. You hear me? I mean, after the call, he was there 40 years in the desert, taking care of sheep, getting ready for the day when God said it's time. When God said it's time. So I want you to understand there's a difference between what I would call the general blessing of the Lord, where God just puts his hand on someone and says, okay, you're going to invent something that's going to bless people. You're going to discover penicillin, or you're going to invent something that's going to cause people to live. That's God's anointing in a sense, where it's just his hand because he wants to bring blessing to people. God loves people so much that he'll use anybody to bring a blessing. He's that kind of God. Come on now. How about someone saying amen to that? Amen. I'm glad that God can use anyone to bring a blessing to this world, to bring a blessing to me or to somebody else. And guess what? I may not be having a good day, and I could be a blessing to somebody too. But when God wants to deal with the church, he's serious about the leaders that he sends. He is serious. And he doesn't mess around. He doesn't mess around because God wants to bring his bride to perfection. I mean, without spot or wrinkle or any blemish, right? Would anyone here tolerate their daughter, fathers, going to a wedding knowing that the wedding gown is messed up? No way, no way, no way. It's just not going to happen. Do you think your father feels any different about his bride? No. That's going to be presented to his son Jesus? So the Lord is really serious about getting you, turn to your neighbor, that's you, perfect. He wants your outfit to be perfect. He wants the bride to be ready without spot or wrinkle or blemish or anything. He wants you ready, and he wants his church ready. And one of the passages, this part of the passage in Isaiah 45 that I want to hit, has to do with how God will get his bride ready for the wedding. How does God want to do it? What is God's plan? What is God's way? How is he going to get us ready for the day when he comes to call us to the chuppah, to the place that we stand and we join hands forever with Jesus as his bride? Amen? And that's how we're going to celebrate Father's Day. And you'll see the Father's Day connection here in a minute, all right? It'll come. But right now, I want us to turn to Isaiah 45. And I'm going to start with verse 4. Isaiah 45, verse 4. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by name. I name you, though you don't know me. Stay right there. Don't go. Fathers in the Bible always named the children. Always. And when a baby is born, it's one to come. At that point, that baby is born. And really, the baby has yet to... Well, I'm sure the baby has heard the father so far. They can hear in the womb, believe it or not. I didn't know. That's why you got to be careful what you say, because your child hears it before he's even there. You know? But that child gets a name, and they haven't yet to really know you. And notice that it's Jacob and Israel. You know, did you know that Jacob had more than one name? And, you know, we know that. Everybody's got more than one name. You have the name, then you have your nickname, and the one everybody knows you by. And Jacob was the name that everybody knew. Right? He was the heel grabber. You know what heel grabbers did? You know what that was a reference to? It was a wrestling move. To flip someone. To turn the situation around. A manipulator. A sneaky move in the wrestling grip. And he was a sneaky, clever little fellow that got his way in a tricky way. Everybody knew him that way. But God gave him another name, Prince. Prince with God. And he calls him both names. He goes, I named you Israel. You didn't know me then. You called me a name to speak my destiny. You're a prince with God. You don't even know it. You don't even know you're a prince with God. The Lord wants you to know that you're a prince. You didn't even know it at the time. I mean, God, when God calls you, you don't have a clue. And the older I get, the more I realize I didn't have a clue. But he gives you a name. He gives you a destiny. He gives you a purpose. You don't even know. Yeah. And then he goes on. I'm the Lord. And there's no one like me. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. You can't even say Jesus and, because it's like, Amen. What's that doing there? Besides me, there is no God. Now, here's the second thing that God does for us. Remember I told you about how the bride gets ready? I equip you, but you don't know me. That word equip, it's a Hebrew word, but we're going to get to the Greek side of it. But the equipping is the way that God gets his bride ready. It's the equipping. It's the equipping that gets his bride ready. Now, that word equip is kind of a techie word almost. But if you're a teacher and you're training somebody to do a skill or a thing, if you're teaching someone carpentry or if you're teaching someone engineering, or if you're teaching someone how to run an office or how to administer medicine, you're equipping them because you're giving them the tools and the knowledge and the character and the wisdom to get the job done that they're meant to do. That's what equipping does. And I love tools and stuff. I don't know if you're like me, but if you go in my basement, you'll see I got a lot of stuff. And they're all tools to me. They're tools. And I don't use them all the time. But I'm glad I got them, because when you need one, you're really glad you got it. And you may not have had that tool a long time, and you hadn't seen it in a long time, but Lord, thank you, Jesus, when you get the right tool. I'm saying, you're like, praise God, I found the tool. Let's do it now. That's what it's like. And fathers name and fathers equip. And the father equips the bride. It's his way of getting her ready. The first thing he does is he names the bride, because you got to know who you are. But just knowing who you are without being equipped, you're not ready. You'll never get ready. If all you walk around is know who you are, but you got no tools, no skills, no knowledge. All you got is talk. So the Father equips. Now, you ready for the main scripture? We're going to go through one scripture. I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures, but we're going to just eat this one scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to do 5 verses, 11 through 16, or 6, 7 verses, whatever. But we're going to look at it. So now I want you to turn to Ephesians 4, and I'm going to give you some things to remember, hopefully, from this. Okay, you ready? How is God going to equip his church? Well, things have changed over the years. It used to be that when you get equipped and get ready for something, it was a very personal thing. But now, equipping is very impersonal. We have distance learning, and we have videos, audios, we have written stuff, digitally, analog, tapes, right? We have collections of tapes, YouTube, everything. So there's just every kind of thing that will equip you, but I want to show you what God wants to use, okay? So we're going to start with Ephesians 4, verse 11. So he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. That's what he gave. Next verse. To do what? Next verse. It's coming. To equip the saints. So, what tools do you have in your tool bag to do the work of the ministry? Well, where do they come from? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. That's how God gets his bride ready. That's how he does it. He does it through what we call the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Keep going. for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of God, look here, to mature manhood. Now look, if I can be the bride of Christ, you women can be mature men.
Whoa!
Come on now, say amen, girls.
Amen.
Come on now. If I can be the bride, you can be a mature man. Realize now, I want you to know something. Men got hair. God gave us hair here. And the size of mature manhood could be a long beard, right? Now women, they got hair here. They got them long hair. I don't care how long your hair looks, guys. It ain't looking good. Nowhere near as good as a woman with long hair. Just telling you. It's true.
God's favorite, he put a hole up there.
That's right, because he did. He kept putting his finger on going, Vincent, listen to me. And he wore a hole on there.
That was blessed. God liked his reflection.
Yeah. So God uses the apostles, prophets. He uses his leadership to equip you. That's how you're going to get ready for Jesus. I'm sorry. Take 5 books, go to the desert. You ain't going to get equipped for the ministry. No, it's not going to happen. It will not happen. You will not be ready for Jesus. He uses people, not methods.
That's right. That's good.
And if God uses his people, they will use his methods.
Amen.
But it's got to be rooted in who the apostles are. And if it says to the mature manhood, to the measure, and this is a very important thing, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Keep going. So that we no longer may be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So God doesn't want us messed up. And he wants us to grow up. All right, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. All right, let's finish up. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up in love. Okay, there it is. So, God has given you apostles. Say it to your neighbor. God's given you an apostles. God's given you prophets. God's given you evangelists. God's given you shepherds. He's given you teachers to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now, this church was founded on this teaching. It was. And the vision, the first thing that we're going to do that God has given us, he's given us apostles to fix up. Everybody say fix up.
Fix up.
So the first thing is to fix up. All right. All right. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Now keep that one scripture up. Go next verse, Jan. Ephesians 4:12. Can you give me Ephesians 4:12? There we go. Thank you. So we're going to use the term fix up for equip. Because sometimes you got to fix something that is not working. Now part of a job of building or equipping means to fix something that ain't working. Now, I had to do that with this coffee express that we have. There were things that we bought it used, and for some reason I buy things used a lot of times. One of the things you have to do is buy something used, and then you find out what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. You got to find that out. Buy a house, find out what works in the house and what doesn't work. It matters. Guess what? There's some things in you that need fixing up.
Amen.
Amen.
There's some things in you that don't work like they're supposed to. That when you hit the on button, smoke comes out, and it's not a good smelling smoke. It's just not doing what it's supposed to do. It needs to be fixed. Or it just, you hit a button to go on and nothing happens. Nothing. You have to find out why. And then you got to fix it. God uses apostles to fix. He uses prophets to fix you. He uses teachers and evangelists and shepherds to fix you up. You need fixing. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you need fixing. You do. And you need to listen to apostles. Some things you can't fix yourself. Say that to your neighbor too. Some things you just can't fix yourself. I mean, why? I don't want somebody to fix things in me. That means they got to open up my cover, dig around in the wires a little bit, pull out some gears and... Or if you're into software engineering, mess with the code. First Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what's lacking. You need to be fixed because something in your faith isn't there. It just isn't there. I'll never forget when God started putting things in my spiritual walk that weren't there. He just needed to put it in there. I didn't have it. It wasn't there. I had some things in my toolbox, but I needed something, and it wasn't there. You reached into it, and it wasn't there. And you needed it, and somebody had to give it to you. And they had to provide it for you. You need apostles and prophets to have the equipment that you need. It needs to be there. And Paul's dedication was to pray. And I want you to know something. We as pastors carry a burden for you. And we pray for you. God, give them what they need. They don't have it, man. Whatever it is they got is not there. They're lacking. They're lacking in vision. They're lacking in some area of faith in their life. They're lacking in something because they're getting hammered right now. They're getting boomed, and it grieves me. You feel this burden praying for people that they would have something from God that would bless them, that would give them victory in their life, that would give them the ability to see something built up. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Did you know that? But then after the foundation, he says, okay, now you got to build something.
Yeah. Amen.
Who does the building? You. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Jesus Christ, there's only one foundation, him. But then what our lives are built. And then when we come to Jesus, the building inspector on the day of judgment, he's going to look at that and say, okay, what kind of building is that? Oh, look at you. Look at that building material. You use straw. What did you do? What did you get that junky piece of stuff in the wall? What's that doing there? You know, I mean, it's just wrong material. I mean, when I've done some renovations in my life, and you never cease to be. Ted's laughing. He knows what I'm going to say. He knows what I'm going to say. You never cease to be amazed about what people use to build houses. It's the most stupid stuff. And you're going, I can't believe they did this. I mean, you say it and you go, I can't believe they did this in this house. This is so bad. Or this, what is this doing here? You know, like, right?
Yes.
We just had that experience remodeling his house, like ceiling joists not connected, or just like, oh, I think we'll throw a piece of wood here so that they come against each other. Who cares about nailing them together? So what? Sorry, my sarcasm came out a little bit. I pushed the sarcasm down. All right, get back in that cage. Right. Ted sees it every day. That's why, Ted, if you were given a choice, Ted, I'm going to pay you $1,000 to renew something or to make something new, what would he say without even the words coming out of your mouth? Oh, new. Why? Because it's such a pain to fix something up. And spiritual leaders grieve. Spiritual leaders mourn over you. They're going, Lord, help them. Why are they sticking a piece of plastic when they need metal in this place? Why aren't they connecting stuff together? You know, I mean, you just like, oh God, help them. Paul says, we pray every day for you to supply something in your faith. And I think I'm ringing because it's too loud. And I'll hold it closer, I promise. Okay, now. So, the first thing is fix up. Everybody say, fix up. Fixer upper. Fix up, equip saints for the work of the ministry. All right, the second thing, everybody say, man up.
Man up.
Say it again, man up now.
Man up.
It's time for you to man up. And it's and with that, I want you to say, measure up.
Measure up.
Time to man up. You fix up, but then you got to man up. Now, ladies, I think you know what that means. Okay? But I know us guys, we just sometimes you just got to look at somebody. Sometimes you just look at a guy. If you're a guy, you look at each other going, okay, it's time to man up. I have nothing else to say.
Amen.
Either you do or you don't. Just man up. It's no slam on anybody else because women can do it just as much. And some women man up better than some men do. Okay, you got that?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. The bride of Christ needs to come into the full manhood. And us men need to be the bride of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Luke 6:40. And go to the next verse. The next verse where it says, until we all attain. There we go. So we want to man up. Just look at that verse. Man up and measure up. Man up and measure up. And while you're doing that, turn to Luke chapter 6. Verse 40. Luke 6:40. Luke 6:40. I really believe I'm going to be prophetic here at the end of the meeting as particular because I really believe this word is in season. And I'll tell you why a little bit later, but because I feel like there's some things we've done well with in our past moves of God, but I think there are things that haven't been accomplished yet that we have to do, and they're very, very important, or we're going to get hammered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Luke 6:40. Luke 6:40 says this. A student is not above his teacher. But everyone who is fully equipped like his teacher. So it's time to man up. Paul said, imitate me as I follow Christ. Now, he was not being arrogant. He was not saying, I am such an awesome apostle. I want you to be like me. No, this is God. God's saying that. God says, you need to man up and you need to imitate godly people in your life. You need to imitate them as they follow Christ. And you have to connect. There are certain people that I look up to because of their life, not because of their products.
Yeah.
Books,
yeah.
Tapes,
right.
Videos. That's not what I connect to. The books are tools, but it's who they are. And you need to man up and be like the people that you're with. And to be inspired by them. You need to see Jesus in me. You need to see Jesus in Ron. You need to see Jesus. You need to see God in us. Do you know that in his own hometown, he didn't have anybody that he could do miracles with hardly? Why? Because they couldn't see Jesus in Jesus. That'll preach. And there are Christians that can't see Jesus in Jesus either. Because they're so caught on seeing through the eyes of the flesh. They're so caught, oh, well, he's the carpenter's son. Look how old he is. Look how young he is. Hey, I never got gray hair when I was 30 years old. Do you realize that I know that there are people got gray hair at an early age, and everybody thought they were so smart because they had gray hair because they thought they were about 60. I've had brown hair my whole life. People say, you're a young whippersnapper. Why should I pay attention to you? I'm 62. I don't get no respect. I'm the Rodney Dangerfield, right? Why? Because everybody thinks, what have I got to say? I'm so young. That's good. Young is okay for some things. But in the ministry, having that gray hair, man, people look at that and they go, wow, that guy's got something. Like, that's what Moses looked like when he came off the mountain, because I saw it on the Ten Commandments. Remember? Charlton Heston coming down? Right? His hair changed color, right? Because he saw God. Therefore, you better listen to him, right? Because what do? We have trouble seeing Jesus in our leaders. We have trouble seeing Jesus. And so we don't see Jesus. His hometown couldn't see Jesus in Jesus. Don't you dare get cynical about ministry. Don't you dare allow the enemy to make you so cynical about preachers, about pastors, about apostles and prophets. Don't you ever, ever, ever let get so cynical like the world about evangelists. I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care if they're on the internet. I don't care if they live next door. Don't you dare be cynical about, you may miss God. And God may tell you to listen. Don't be cynical. Don't get that attitude. Get rid of that attitude right now. Hear me? This is important. Because you hear it, I see it all around me. Just such an attitude. And so people can't see the Lord. They can't receive from God. And they think, well, I don't need that preacher. I've got the Bible. I can just read it myself. I don't need anything else. Is that what this says here in the Bible?
No.
The Bible says don't do it. Who is here to equip you? Does it say the King James Version?
That's good.
People are gifts.
Amen.
People are God's method. And God's method produces God's results. And if they're true apostles, you'll see signs and wonders.